consider all the worlds thy hands have made. I see the skies, I hear that rolling thunder. Thy power throughout the universe displayed. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. When Christ shall come with shout of acclamation and take me home, what joy shall fill my heart. Then I shall bow in praise and adoration, and there proclaim, my God, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art.
Thank you, Brother Ray and Lawrence, for playing John chapter 10. If you'll turn there this morning as we look at the Good Shepherd. And we'll be looking at the first 21 verses here this morning. And as as we do so, we're going to be looking at the true shepherd. And then we're going to look at some false shepherds, where God gives us some standards. We can look to see who is teaching truly the word of God and who is not. And then true sheep. As we look at the true shepherd, we're going to see the first thing that the true shepherd does. There are 11 traits of this true shepherd that I have found in this passage this morning. And one is he calls the sheep. In verse 3, it says that he calls them his own sheep by name. And it's a wonderful thing for the Lord to call us to be a part of his sheepfold. He calls us by name. We'll look at that in just a little bit as well. And people don't go to God at their own timing, whatever they want to. They can say, well, I'll just put it off now and I'll come to God later, because that's not what the Bible teaches. We go to God in response to the call that he gives to us. Matthew chapter 22 says, for many are called, but few are chosen. And that's referring to a wedding invitation there in verse 14 of Matthew 22. And so God calls us to be a part of his sheepfold. Now, we'll see a little bit about sheep in a little bit, because that's the animal to which the Lord compares us in Scripture oftentimes. But another thing we see about this true shepherd is he consents. It says in this verse 3, to him the porter openeth. The porter is what we would think of the doorkeeper. And so the doorkeeper opens the door. So God calls us to come in, and all those who come in, he opens the door. Because the scripture says that anyone who comes to him, he will in no way, in no wise cast him out. He will not keep anyone from coming in who answers the call. So God opens the door. The Holy Spirit is the one who speaks to our heart and knocks on the heart's door and calls us to come to him. And aren't you glad that he opens the door to anyone that calls? It doesn't matter if a person is what we say, the black sheep of the family, or what sins we have committed. Whenever we come to him, the porter opens the door there. And well, we see in verse 3 something else about this true shepherd, that he gives counsel. It says that they hear his voice. And so he instructs and he guides. We know that John 1:1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And that's how the Lord today guides us and instructs us. It is through the Word of God. In Isaiah chapter 9, Jesus is called the Wonderful Counselor, because that's what he does. He gives guidance. He gives advice. And we find that in the pages of Scripture. The Bible tells pastors that we are to preach the whole counsel of God. And so we are to give instructions and teachings through the whole Bible. That's why here at Sumter Bible Church, I like preaching through the books of the Bible. And we're going through the Gospel of John. At 5 o'clock this afternoon, we'll have a message going through the book of Isaiah. And we continue to go through all the books of the Bible because we want to teach the whole counsel of God so that we can hear his voice. Because his voice comes to us by way of the Word of God. Well, the fourth trait of this true shepherd, who of course is the Lord Jesus himself, that he's a companion. It says in verse 3 that he calls them by name. Can you imagine? It's hard for us to comprehend the knowledge of God. We just can't understand it all. That he knows everybody by name, even all the stars by name. He knows the number of hairs on everybody's head. And so, and yet he is so powerful and so all-knowing, but yet he wants to be a friend. He wants to be a companion to us. And he wants us to get to be more acquainted with him. And we get acquainted with him just like we do any other companion or friend. It's by spending time and by sharing. And the Bible uses the word fellowship. That's what we do with one another in fellowship. And we have that same fellowship with God. Once he calls us into his sheepfold and we answer, he opens the door and we go in. He gives us counsel, and he is not only our Savior and God and Creator, he's our friend. The Bible says he's a friend that sticks closer than a brother. And whenever we're going through trials and uncertainties and we have questions and we need answers and we need guidance and counsel, we have a friend that's better than any psychologist or psychiatrist you will ever find on this earth. We have a wonderful counselor who is our companion. And the advice and counsel he gives to us is always for our good, because he's a friend that cares about us. Another thing he does is he leads or conducts, is the word we'll use here. In verse 3, it says that he leads them out. The word out is the Greek word exago, and sometimes it's used referring to leading people out of prison. Whenever the Lord saves us and he calls us and opens the door and we come into his sheepfold, he calls us out of the prison of sin that holds us. He calls us out of darkness into the kingdom of light there. And so he leads us. We use that phrase sometimes, in our choir. Nathan conducts the choir. Or in school, he conducts the band. He leads the choir. He leads the band. And that's what the shepherd does to the sheep as well. The shepherd will lead the sheep away from the snares of this world, from the enemies that would devour and destroy the sheep. And he doesn't drive the sheep. Whenever I was a kid and watched Westerns, they had the cows, the cattle on there. One old show a long time ago, some of you remember the show Rawhide, and they always had the cattle drives, but not sheep. You don't drive sheep. And so the Lord doesn't compare us to cattle. He compares us to sheep, and the shepherd leads the sheep. Psalm 23 is a wonderful psalm that most people are familiar with that. And whenever he leads us, Psalm 23 says he leads us to green pastures. He leads us to still waters. He leads us to paths of righteousness. He leads us through the valley of death there. And so he leads us and he goes before us. And so he is a wonderful shepherd, and we can trust him that he will never conduct us or lead us astray. If we follow his word, we can trust his leadership. Well, the next thing he does, he clears the way in verse 4. It says, and when he puts forth his own sheep, he goeth before them. He goeth before them. Jesus said to the disciples, come, follow me. And it's certainly reasonable and understandable that when you follow someone, there's a leader. Follow the leader there, and he is the leader. Job said when he was going through all his trials, Job said, he knoweth the way that I take. But whenever I'm tried, I will come forth as gold, because he leads us through the valleys there, the valley of death and the valley of trials, the valley of viruses, the valley of whatever we may be facing. He clears the way for us. The Apostle Paul said to believers, he said, follow me as I follow Christ there. And so that's the example we have, that Christ clears the way and he says, follow us. He doesn't clear the way from all the obstacles, because there are some there. But we have a wonderful promise that our shepherd, who is our protector, that he's always with us. In the Bible it says that, Lord, help me to go in a plain path. And that's what he does. He leads us in a plain path, and he will never confuse us. Now, Satan will come in and try to confuse and destroy as a lion roaring around, trying to get the sheep that are gone astray to devour them, but not the true shepherd. Well, he says, I'm the door, and we'll call this one the cross, because we have a hymn that says, the way of the cross leads home. And there's no other way to get to God except by the way of the cross. The cross is our access. Jesus says, I'm the door. And the only way that we can get through that door is to go through the cross. And that's what Jesus came to do. He came to die on the cross, and we'll see that a little bit later in this passage there, but we see in the scriptures where it talks about Peter has the keys, but Christ is the door. And so he says, I'm the door. He says, and I'll open it. The porter is the one that opens the door. Talking about God, he's the one that opens the door. We can certainly witness and tell people about Christ, but only God can save. He's the one that opens the door. Well, we see in verse 10, another characteristic of this true shepherd, he chooses life. In verse 10, it says, the thief comes not but to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. Now, this phrase, choose life, has kind of become a political phrase as well. But it is a biblical phrase, because that's what Christ came to do. He came to give life, and he came to give it more abundantly there. And so when we think about eternal life is not just life that goes on forever and ever. It is that, but it's not just that. Eternal life not only has to do with the quantity of life, but it has to do with the quality of life as well. And Jesus helps us understand this when he says, I've come that you might have life more abundantly. And so God sent his son so that we can have life and that we could enjoy it to its fullest. But yet Satan wants to deceive us and to think that we can enjoy life through the pleasures that this world has to offer. But we can't. The Bible says that the pleasures of sin are but for a season, but God has eternal life and abundant life for us. God wants us to enjoy life here on earth. We're going to enjoy life for all eternity when we get to heaven, and God wants us to enjoy life here and have this abundant life. Well, verse 11, we see the cost that the shepherd paid for us to have life. It says, I'm the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Isaiah 53:6 says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him, on Christ, the iniquity of us all. So all of our sins were placed on Christ, and he took those and he paid the price of our sins so that we don't have to die and be separated from God for all eternity, because Christ has paid the price, and the price, the scripture says, was his precious blood that he shed for you and me. What a wonderful cost that is. What a wonderful love that demonstrates to us, that he loved us so much that he would give his own life. Verse 14, the 10th characteristic is the certainty that we have. In verse 14, Jesus said, I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep. The Bible talks about the book of life, that our names are written in the book of life when we get saved. And God knows everyone whose name is in the book of life. And he knows those whose names are not written in the book of life there. And there are no mistakes in the book of life. And we need to make sure before we leave this earth that our name is written in the book of life. And there's a certainty with the Savior. He says, I know my sheep there. We often think about a roll call, whether it's in school or some other time, you know, we're having a roll call or answer here or present, and the book of life, he's going to have that there, and the roll call there. Make sure your name is in the Lamb's book of life. The Bible says not everyone who says to Jesus, Lord, Lord, is going to enter into the kingdom. So a lot of people are going to say, I'm a Christian, I know Christ, but they're not genuinely saved. Now, I don't know who they are. You don't know who they are. But Jesus says, I know. I know who's just playing church. I know who my true sheep are. I know those who are Christian and word only and are not really following me like the true sheep do. And we're going to get to the sheep in just a little bit there. Revelation 13, verses 8 and 9 says, and all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. If any man have an ear, let him hear. Because one of these days, those who are not a part of the sheepfold, that Jesus doesn't know that they are his, and he knows all that are his, there's going to be a statement in the scripture that says, depart from me, for I never knew you. And what a tragic thing that Jesus would say, you never got saved. I didn't know you as my sheep. Oh yeah, you talk the talk, but there was not that heart conversion. And God knows that. And we'll talk about the certainty that we have next week as we look at the rest of this chapter. It talks about what is often referred to as eternal security. And we're going to see that next week as we finish up this chapter. Now we go to the last thing about the true shepherd. And that is that he controls life and death. Jesus said in verse 18, I have power to lay down my life, and then I have power to take it back up again. Now, that's a tremendous claim, isn't it? And so for someone to say, I have power over death, he either has to be God or he has to be a lunatic. And that's what they thought. They thought he was crazy because he made such a claim. And that's because they didn't know that he was God. There. But in this verse, there's an interesting statement that sometimes we can overlook it because we look at the first part where Jesus says, I have power to lay it down, I have power to take it again. The rest in the last part of verse 18 says, this commandment have I received of my Father. Jesus says that God the Father commanded me to go to earth and to die and restore my life. And so Jesus came to earth in obedience to the Father's commandment there. And so what a wonderful thing. Why would he come to earth and die? And the answer is for the sheep, because we are his sheep and we are his people. And he came to die for us. The care that he has, Savior, like a shepherd, lead us, and he does. Well, God warns us about false shepherds, and I'll need to move quickly. There are five traits of the false shepherds that we see in this passage. Some of them are crooks. In verse 1 and verse 8, it says, he that climbs up some other way is a thief and a robber. Verse 8 says, all that ever came before me are thieves and robbers. What's the difference in a thief and a robber? And the Bible is not redundant. We know the Bible says that every word of God is inspired. So he puts both of those words there for a particular reason there. And it has to do with the motive of being a crook and the method of the way you do the crooked work here. And the word thief has to do with those who would do that a little more subtly. They're kind of sneaky in the way that they do it. And there are religions that do that. You think of the Mormons and Jehovah Witnesses. You know, it can be very deceptive there. Other people, Jim Baker and Joel Osteen and people like that, that are very sneaky and clever and very deceptive to people that aren't familiar with the Scriptures. And I know that naming names sometimes like that is not too popular of things to do, but as a shepherd or an under-shepherd, it's my responsibility to point out to you false teachers and religions that would be a hindrance to your following the true shepherd. So the thieves are those that are subtle and sneaky. The robbers are those that would have more violence. So certainly there's some sneakiness and subtlety in there as well. But remember the story of Jim Jones and the Kool-Aid and all that died and religions that teach violence. And you're doing God a favor if you go and kill Christians and those kinds of things. And so the thieves and the robbers, Jesus says, all that come before me and they don't go through the door and they're not following the true and the only shepherd, they are crooks. Well, they also center on themselves. Verse 12, it says, but he that's a hireling and not the shepherd who's on the sheep or not. And so Christ is never selfish. The sheep are his own. And so these others, false shepherds, false religious leaders, they're not the shepherd. The sheep don't belong to them. They belong to the true shepherd. And Jesus never had a center on himself. It was always doing what was best for the sheep, of which he is the good and great shepherd. Well, another thing about these false shepherds, they're cowards. It says in verse 12 that they leave the sheep. Whenever danger is coming, they leave the sheep and flee, it says. Now, how are sheep going to fend for themselves? They don't have the teeth of a lion. They don't have the quills of a porcupine. They don't have the claws of a bear. Sheep can't defend themselves. And so that wonderful comparison, we need someone who can protect us and care for us and lead us to green pastures and still waters because we can't do it. And we have a wonderful shepherd, and he is not a coward, that he is always there to take care of his own there, even to give his life. Verse 13, the fourth characteristic of these false shepherds, they don't care. They are careless there. They careth not for the sheep. They don't have any interest in the sheep. They don't have any concern for the sheepfold. And one of these days, the Bible says that Jesus is going to come and he's going to gather all his sheep back together there. But those who are the hireling, as it's called in verse 13, and that's the last characteristic of the false shepherd, they are cost counters. They're hirelings. Those kinds of preachers or evangelists or whatever they are, religious leaders, they go after the money, they go after the benefits. To them, it's just a job. They have what we call a 9-to-5 mentality there. But not Jesus. He's the true shepherd there. And you know, not just religious leaders, but a lot of people attend church this way too. You know, kind of clock punchers there. They clock in and out. I've done my time, so to speak. And that's not what God is looking for from us, from the sheep. He wants a relationship of the shepherd to the sheep there. And 1 Peter 5:7 says, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. And of course, the wonderful song, Does Jesus Care? We know he cares. He is the good shepherd there. And so beware of false shepherds that will try to lead you astray because there's a purpose. Just as the lion waits and the wolf waits and the sheep, when they stray away from the fold, then they become a greater target for the enemy. Well, the true sheep. There are some who are in the fold. There are genuinely the sheep of the Lord. There are some like Judas. You know, he kind of hung around with the disciples, but he wasn't one of them there. And we have five traits that we'll see here, or six, excuse me, of the true sheep. They have the right entry. They go in the right way. It says in verse 1, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbs up another way, the same as a thief and a robber. And so we go by the door. But we don't get in by our good works. We can't pick the lock to this door and get in our own way. We can't kick the door in and get in. We don't go in by force. We go in by invitation. And the call comes to everyone. And to everyone who comes and approaches the door, the porter opens it up and says, come in to my sheepfold there. And so true sheep have entered in by the door. And Jesus says, I'm the door. There's only one way. If a person is claiming to be a Christian or claiming that he's going to heaven and he hasn't trusted Christ as his Savior, he's not going. He's not a true sheep there. And it's our responsibility to tell them about the wonderful shepherd who can genuinely save them. A second characteristic of true sheep, they recognize the voice of the shepherd. It says, to him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice. And the sheep hear his voice because it's a familiar voice. They know it. In 1980, I had privilege to go to Israel while I was in seminary there, and I got to see shepherds there coming to the market with their sheep. And they would come together, and they would come in and mix in with each other. And they weren't branded like cattle. I said, you don't drive sheep like you do cattle. Neither do you brand them like cattle. And so whenever the shepherd was leaving the market, he would call to the sheep, and they know his voice. And they followed their shepherd and not another shepherd. What a wonderful truth of Scripture, that those who have come in through the door and they genuinely know the shepherd, they follow him. They recognize his voice. Now, Satan has a voice too. Satan likes to deceive. The Bible says that he can transform himself into an angel of light. And so as that, he can try to deceive with his voice. Well, the light that Satan has, he shines it in people's eyes to blind them. The Lord shines the light at our feet to guide our paths. Well, Satan has a voice too to deceive and to lead us astray. And isn't it interesting how you can recognize someone's voice? We have more than 100 different parents and grandparents that call our school to speak to our students. And my wife is able, just about every one of them, she'll recognize the voice if she's talked to them before, because she's familiar with the voice. And here, we can be familiar with the voice of God through the pages of Scripture. Well, the fourth thing that true sheep do, they resemble the Savior. As Christians, we should resemble our Heavenly Father. It says, the sheep follow him. We should have characteristics of our Father. We sing a song, Footprints of Jesus, there. And it shouldn't just be a song we sing, that we should certainly be following the steps of Jesus, resembling him, walking in his steps, because he's the shepherd, and he leads us, and he invites us to follow him, just as he invites us to come into the door and be part of the sheepfold. He invites us to follow him wherever he may lead us. Another characteristic of true sheep, not only do they have the right entry and recognize the voice of the shepherd and resemble the Savior, but they refuse to follow strangers. Verse 5 says, a stranger will they not follow, but will flee. And so true believers are going to know the difference between Satan's voice and God's voice. And the way we know it, if there's any confusion, we go to the scriptures and we say, God, lead me in a plain path. Help me to know your voice there. And the sheep won't follow another shepherd. There's one case in which they do. A shepherd looks at the 23rd Psalm as a book by Keller, and he talks about how if a sheep is sick, he knows that he needs attention, and he will follow a false shepherd if he's sick. And that's why it's so important for us as believers that we stay spiritually healthy and close to the true shepherd. Because if we start to stray away from the sheepfold, the family of God, we make ourselves targets to the enemy, because we stray away from the sheepfold, and that's where the wolf and the lion is lurking to see those that stray away. And then the attack is there. And so true sheep are going to refuse to follow strangers. Number 5, true sheep have reassurance that there's safety in the Lord. Verse 9, it says that they go in and out and find pasture. They go in and out. And so our reassurance is in the shepherd. It's not in the fences that are we build around ourselves. It's not even in our family. It's not in our finances. It's not in safety in firearms. And I'm certainly a Second Amendment guy, but that's not where our safety is. Our safety is in the Lord. And there's reassurance that we can go in and out because he leads us through the valley of the shadow of death. And the last thing that we see about true sheep, they enjoy the refreshment that God has for us. It says they go in and out and they find pasture. Where do they find pasture? Wherever the shepherd leads them, because he won't lead us in a wrong place there. And there are many pastures in this world. The world offers many pastures, and too often those who call themselves believers are grazing in the world's pastures and trying to feed on the things of the world. And whenever we do that, we find ourselves in danger, and we don't have a spiritual healthy diet whenever we're feeding on things of this world. And so we ask ourselves the question, where am I grazing? The world offers a lot of junk food, spiritually speaking, but there's no real nourishment to it there. And so the shepherd offers us the green pastures. He offers us the food of the Word of God there. So the Good Shepherd, three questions that we ask ourselves this morning in closing. Are you a true sheep? Do you know for sure that you are in the sheepfold? That the Holy Spirit has spoken to your heart, you've answered that call, and you have entered in, and you know the true shepherd. Not just about him, not just hanging out with him like Judas did, hanging with the disciples, but you know him as your shepherd and your companion and Savior as well. Second question, do you know and follow the shepherd's voice? Once we know that we're saved, we need to make sure that we are faithfully following his voice. And the third question we ask ourselves, where are you grazing? Are you grazing in the world to find your pleasures? Are you grazing in the Word? God's voice to us today is the Word of God. And we go and we feast on the Word of God, and whenever we do, the shepherd, He leads us and he guides us and he nourishes us and he keeps us safe if we stay in the Word of God and follow the Word. Because when Jesus said, follow me, he's saying, follow the Bible. Because in the beginning was the Word, as I said earlier from John 1, and the Word was with God and the Word was God. So follow the Scriptures. Feast in the Scriptures, not in the world. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for our wonderful shepherd who has laid down his life for the sheep. He was slaughtered on the cross so that we would not have to face death and be slaughtered for our sins and transgressions. And Father, we give you thanks today. And we take this moment to pray for those who are listening and maybe they're not sure if they're in the sheepfold or not. Lord, it's easy to get that assurance and reassurance by going to your word and praying and having someone give counsel or guidance. And we pray if anyone's not a part of the true sheepfold, that even today, as your voice speaks to them and calls them to come through the door, that they would answer that call. And Father, I pray for each believer that you would help us, that we would graze in the word of God and not in the things that the world has to offer, so that we can have a spiritual, healthy diet where we can honor you and follow you, the Good Shepherd. In his name we pray. Amen.